For scripture reading, we turn to Ezekiel 36. And we read the last half or so of this chapter, starting at verse 16, and then we'll read a few verses in 1 Peter 1. But first, Ezekiel 36, reading verses 16 to the end. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own way and by their doings. Their way was before me as the uncleanness of a removed woman. Wherefore I poured my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land, and for their idols wherewith they had polluted it. And I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed through the countries according to their way and according to their doings I judged them. And when they entered unto the heathen, whether they went, they profaned my holy name, when they said to them, These are the people of the Lord, and are gone forth out of his land. But I had pity for mine holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen, whither they went. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, Thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen, whither ye went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen, and gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land. And will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. And ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will also save you from all your uncleannesses. And I will call for the corn, and will increase it, and lay no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field, that ye shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. Then shall ye remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. Not for your sakes do I this, saith the Lord God. Be it known unto you, be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord God, In the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the wastes shall be builded, and the desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that passed by. And they shall say, This land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden, and the waste and desolate and ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited. Then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places and plant that was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it and will do it. Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock. As the holy flock is the flock of Jerusalem in her solemn feast, so shall the waste cities be filled with flocks of men, and they shall know that I am the Lord. And then we read the first 9 verses of 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1, the first 9 verses of 1 Peter 1. First Peter 1, starting at verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. So far we read from Holy Scripture. These passages and the rest of the Scriptures are the basis for the teaching of our Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 26. There we read, how art thou admonished and assured by holy baptism that the one sacrifice of Christ upon the cross is of real advantage to thee? Thus, that Christ appointed this external washing with water, adding thereto this promise, that I am as certainly washed by his blood and spirit from all the pollution of my soul, that is, from all my sins, as I am washed externally with water, by which the filthiness of the body is commonly washed away. What is it to be washed with the blood and spirit of Christ? It is to receive of God the remission of sins freely for the sake of Christ's blood, which he shed for us by his sacrifice upon the cross, and also to be renewed by the Holy Ghost and sanctified to be members of Christ, that so we may more and more die unto sins and lead holy and unblameable lives. Where has Christ promised us that he will as certainly wash us by his blood and spirit as we are washed with the water of baptism? In the institution of baptism, which is thus expressed, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. This promise is also repeated where the Scripture calls baptism the washing of regeneration and the washing away of sins. Dearly beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, the previous Lord's Day spoke about how the Holy Ghost teaches us in the gospel and assures us by the sacraments that the whole of our salvation depends upon that one sacrifice of Christ which he offered for us on the cross. Then this Lord's Day picks up on that and says, How art thou admonished and assured by the holy baptism? Looking specifically at the sacrament of baptism. How art thou admonished and assured by holy baptism that the one sacrifice of Christ upon the cross is of real advantage to thee? Answer 67 says that the gospel, we're taught this in the gospel, and we're assured of this by the sacraments, and now with regard to baptism specifically, it's asked, how? How are you admonished? How are you assured? By the sacrament of baptism, that the one sacrifice of Christ is of real advantage to you. And then it's explained how we are assured that as certainly as I am washed, that I am as certainly washed by the blood and spirit of Christ as I am washed externally with water. And then it speaks in that answer, it speaks about both the sign and the reality. It speaks about visually thinking about how water washes away the filth of the body. And it says that I am as certainly washed by the blood and spirit from the pollution of my soul as I'm washed externally with water. The next question then says, what does that mean to be washed with the blood and spirit of Christ? What is it that is signified then? What it's pointing to, the washing, that internal washing. And it asks a question about that internal washing. We read in the Belgic Confession, when it speaks about the sacrament of baptism, it says, and when it talks about the spiritual reality, it says, the blood of Christ, by the power of the Holy Ghost, internally sprinkles the soul. And so the sprinkling of water points to and directs our attention to the invisible internal sprinkling of the soul. We consider this morning that internal sprinkling that's referred to in a number of places in our confessions. The sprinkling that was referred to in both of the passages that we read, Ezekiel 36, verse 25, Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. And in 1 Peter 1, verse 2, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. We consider in the first place the sprinkling, the spiritual reality. Secondly, we consider the sign, and that the sacrament is the real means of grace. And then thirdly, we look at it from the viewpoint that baptism points us to consider our union with Christ, the covenant, fellowship with God, that we are members of the body of Christ, washed in Christ's blood. We consider this Lord's Day under the theme, the internal sprinkling. We consider, first of all, the sprinkling, secondly, the sign, and then thirdly, the communion. It's a great comfort for us to constantly think of our salvation. Now, as we talk about baptism, we think about what baptism signifies, that God does in us and in our children. When we have a child die, we think of the blessings of the covenant in our generations. We think of what that sacrament of baptism points to. It's pointing to an internal cleansing. And tonight we're looking at what that is, what's that referring to, this internal cleansing. Our soul is cleansed. That's what the Belgian Confession referred to. Internally sprinkling the soul and cleansing it from its sins. That's what the internal sprinkling is. And we're washed in the blood of our Savior. The book of Revelation puts it that way in chapter 1, verse 5, that Jesus washed us from our sins in His own blood. And we think of that we might be saved, that our children might be saved, that we might live forever with God. Christ laid down His life for us. He washes us from all our sins in his own blood. By His death, He took away the cause of our death, namely sin, and obtained for us the quickening Spirit, as it says in the Lord's Supper form. And what water does, the cleansing of water, directs us to consider this cleansing. Something that we see constantly. We're constantly washing our hands, washing our bodies. And something that we see all the time. We are to think of how it points to this internal cleansing, this internal sprinkling, that we are washed, that Christ washes us in His own blood. To think of that, He washes me, you, in His own blood. Now, our confessions bring out, as Scripture does, that this refers to our being justified, and it also brings out the idea of us being renewed. Both of these ideas are set forth, and it's good for us to see that. Sometimes when one thinks of this sprinkling, they think simply of the first, being justified, being forgiven. But it also, we're to think about the being renewed by the Spirit. And it's interesting to see that these aspects are referred to right here in this Lord's Day, and also in the Belgic Confession and in the baptism form. We talk about this. Now, looking first at the fact that we're justified. When we think of the real cleansing, we're to think of the fact that we are righteous in Christ, forgiven. That Christ's righteousness is imputed to us. We're justified. We're forgiven. That we see is made known here in question and answer 70. This is the second question of the Lord's Day. What is it to be washed with the blood and Spirit of Christ? And it first brings up the blood and speaks of it's to receive of God the remission of sins freely for the sake of Christ's blood, which he shed for us by his sacrifice upon the cross. So that we're to think about the fact that it's all of grace. Ezekiel 36 that we read also points out that idea that this is all of grace. We're to think of God's mercy. It says, we receive of God the remission of sins freely for the sake of Christ's blood. We're forgiven. And that idea is also brought out in the baptism form. When we say, when we're baptized in the name of the Son sealeth unto us that he doth wash us in his blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. That's what we think about. We think about the fact that this internal sprinkling, the cleansing, we receive the remission of sins. We are righteous before God. And we will always be. We are forgiven. Christ's sacrifice fully accomplished all that was necessary. So that we say, and what a comfort is it to know this, that we can't lose the grace of adoption or forfeit the state of justification. That's the fifth head of the canons, Article 6. That God does not suffer them to proceed so far as to lose the grace of adoption and forfeit the state of justification. We're washed, we're cleansed, we're righteous in Christ Jesus. We think of that. We think of that when we think of baptism, pointing to that internal cleansing. But we also see, and it's important for us to see that this is mentioned as well, that it also points to us being renewed. And that's the second part of the answer, 70. And also, to be renewed by the Holy Ghost and sanctified to be members of Christ, that so we may more and more die unto sin and lead holy and unblameable lives. We're to think of that too. We're renewed by the Holy Ghost, sanctified to be members of Christ. We more and more die unto sin and lead holy and unblameable lives. We think of the work of the Spirit. Well, that brings it to our minds what is said in the baptism form about the Spirit. Then it brings up, after talking about being baptized in the name of the Son, it says also when we're baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that He will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ. He'll sanctify us. He assures us. We talked about justification. Now we're talking about Him sanctifying us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented. You can't lose your salvation. We will finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. So we think forward, we think of that. The full cleansing. As we've mentioned, when we think of someone who dies and that the sin is abolished, we think of how we will finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. That's what we're to think about. That's what it is to be washed with the blood and Spirit of Christ. We've been raised to a new life. As Ezekiel 36 talked about the sprinkling, ye shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols. And then a new heart will I give you, a new spirit will I put within you. In verse 27, I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And then we think of how it says here, He sanctifies us that we may more and more die unto sin and lead holy and unblameable lives. The Spirit works that in us and in our children. Now, He's given us a sign that points to that. He's given us baptism as a sacrament that points us to consider this internal cleansing. That we're to think that just as that external washing takes place with water, so this internal sprinkling, this internal washing really does happen. It's a reality. And the sacrament is to assure us that this invisible cleansing really happens in us and in our children. Though we know the promises to the elect, it really is the case that God cleanses us and our children in Christ Jesus. The sacrament is a real means of grace, which means it's a sign, it's a seal. The sacraments are signs, they are seals. The previous Lord's Day mentioned that. Now, a seal is something that assures us. It assures us of what God has done. And it's important for us to think of that. What we're being assured of is we're being assured of what God has done, what He is doing, what He will do. We think of how our baptism form brings that out. We think of what God has done, what Christ has done. And we think of how, regarding the future, the Holy Ghost assures us that He will dwell in us, applying unto us that which we have in Christ. He is now and He will be. The sacrament is to assure us of that. And we're to be thinking about the promise. When we see someone baptized, we're to think about the promise that was added to the sacrament. When it says, "How are you assured?" in question and answer 69, when the question asks, "Well, how are you assured?" it's key, a key point is understanding that Christ appointed this sign and He added a promise. That's key to understanding it. How are you assured by this sign? Well, Christ appointed this external washing with water, adding this promise. He added a promise, and we're to think about the promise. And the promise was that you and I are as certainly washed by His blood and Spirit from all the pollution of our soul, that is, from all our sins, as we are washed externally with water. That's what He promises us, and that's what we're to think about. Now, that last question of this Lord's Day asks the question, where did He promise this? When we get to the subject of the Lord's Supper, you can see there's a parallel in the way that the Lord's Supper is treated with the way that baptism is treated. Both of them follow a certain order. First asking, how are you assured? Then pointing to the spiritual reality, a question about the spiritual reality. And then a question about where is this promise? You say He has appointed this washing, adding a promise. Where did He promise that? Where did He promise that He will as certainly wash us by His blood and Spirit as we're washed with the water of baptism? And the answer that's given is in the institution of baptism. That when Jesus said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And he that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." In that institution, when we are commanded to administer this sacrament, if He is giving us this sign, He is appointing us this sign to administer, that He is assuring us. He's not giving us this sign for no reason. He's assuring us, He's adding a promise that we receive the reality as really as we see the sign. It says this promise is repeated when He calls baptism the washing of regeneration. When Scripture refers to it that way, that's taken from Titus 3, verse 5. when it says, according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration. Washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. And our creeds say, there baptism is being called the washing of regeneration. And when the sign is called that, when baptism is called the washing of regeneration, that's bringing out the idea that the real baptism, we receive that real baptism as really as we receive the sign. We see that promise when God speaks of baptism and calls it the washing of regeneration and calls it the washing away of sins. When he does that, it's not meaning that the water itself, and the next Lord's Day gets into that. That doesn't mean the water itself washes away sin. But it means that we receive the reality, the invisible reality, as really as we receive the sign. And now the sign has changed from the Old Testament days when there was circumcision, which involved the shedding of blood. In the Old Testament, there were sheddings of blood. And you think of, with regard to circumcision involved a shedding of blood. But we believe and confess that Jesus Christ, who is the end of the law, he's the end of the law. And he made an end by the shedding of his blood. He made an end of all other sheddings of blood which men could or work or would make as a propitiation or satisfaction for sin. And that he hath abolished circumcision, which was done with blood. And he instituted the sacrament of baptism instead thereof. And that is an explanation of the change from the sign in the old dispensation to baptism now. And we see the propriety of sprinkling of water, where some say that it has to be by immersion. We say the Bible does speak about sprinkling. And we read of that in the Old and the New Testament. We read that here. When it says, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. So the idea of sprinkling does appear. Now that's in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, we read of the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus. And we read the 1 Peter 1, verse 2. Unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Sprinkling. And we could show other examples from Scripture, too, that point to this idea. And that's what we think of when we sprinkle water on someone when they're baptized. Both baptism and the Lord's Supper are related to the idea of our second birth. You know, we talked about that with regard to the Lord's Supper. With regard to the Lord's Supper, we talked about how believers have a twofold life. And we think of what we have from the first birth. We have a corporal, a temporal life, an earthly life from our first birth, and that's common to all men. The other is spiritual and heavenly, which is given them in their second birth. Baptism points to that. It points us to think about that second birth. It points us to think about, and then the Lord's Supper points us to think about the ongoing nourishment of those that have that heavenly life. We see why there's two sacraments. The first one points us to that birth, and the second one points us to consider the ongoing nourishment of those that have that new heavenly life. As the baptism form says, you know, it says, we believe every man who is earnestly studious of obtaining life eternal ought to be but once baptized. With his only baptism, without ever repeating the same, since he can't be born twice. He can't be born twice. One baptism. Baptized once. And then the Lord's Supper repeated. And we think of that ongoing nourishment as Christ nourishes us in our soul. Baptism also, when we look at it and see the explanation of it that's given in our confessions, we see that it also brings out the idea that we're brought into communion with God, and we have fellowship with God's people as members of Christ, separated from the world. And when we think of baptism, we think about how we and our children have been separated from this world, and that we have been brought into fellowship with God, and that we are members of the body of Christ. That's mentioned in answer 70, where it says, we're renewed by the Holy Ghost and sanctified to be members of Christ. It brings out that idea of being members of Christ. And the baptism, or the Belgic Confession, says that Christ has instituted the sacrament of baptism by which we are received into the Church of God, and separated from all other people and strange religions, that we may wholly belong to Him. And we say our only comfort is that we belong to Christ. What a comfort to know that we and our children belong to Christ. We have communion with God. We're united in Jesus Christ. We are received into the Christian church, the church of God, separated from other peoples, called out, gathered, separated from all other people, that we may wholly belong to our God, to our Lord. We're to think of that. We're to think of that cleansing. The baptism form says, you know, we can't enter into the kingdom of God except we are born again. And there's the idea of the birth. We can't enter into the kingdom of God except we are born again. This the dipping in or sprinkling with water teaches us, whereby the impurity of our souls is signified, and we admonish to loathe and humble ourselves before God and seek for our purification and salvation without ourselves. Except we are born again. And this, the sacrament points us to consider that birth. And we remember that Christ, we have heavenly life. We have been separated from those of this world. We have a life that will never end. That we are righteous in Jesus Christ. We have everlasting life. We are safe. We are in the shadow of the wings of our God as we head this morning. We're cleansed. We're washed. God has saved us that we might serve Him. And we think of that too. We think of how baptism also directs us to think about the fact that we've been saved. He has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. We have communion with God that we might glorify His name. And that's mentioned too in answer 70 when it says that we more and more die unto sin and lead holy and unblameable lives. And the baptism form says, whereas in all covenants there contain two parts, therefore are we by God through baptism admonished of and obliged unto new obedience. Namely, that we cleave to this one God. And that's what we had this morning. We cleave to this one God. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We trust in Him. We rely on Him. We love Him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, and with all our strength. You love God. We've talked about how God loves you. God works in you by the Spirit of Christ that you love God. That you do love Him. You cleave to Him. You trust in Him. You love Him. You forsake the world. That idea of being separated. That we forsake the world. We crucify our old nature. We fight against our threefold enemy. We crucify our old nature and walk in a new and holy life. Well, what if we fall into sin? If we sometimes through weakness fall into sin, we don't despair. We don't despair of God's mercy. We don't continue in sin. Since baptism is a seal, an undoubted testimony that we have an eternal, eternal covenant of grace with God. We have everlasting life. We are forever with Him. We want to glorify Him. And then when we fall into sin, we don't despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin. We think of what baptism is. A testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. fellowship with God. God assures us that He will forever be our God. Forever be our God. Forever be our gracious God and Father. And when we think of that, we think of that statement when God would make, when the statement that we often see in reference to the covenant, I will be your God and ye shall be my people. Baptism is a sign of the covenant and it leads us to think of that promise. I will be your God. Ye shall be my people. He's washed us. He cleanses us. We're righteous in Christ. He sanctifies us. We commune with Him. May we, with joy and thankfulness, fight against our spiritual foes and glorify and praise His holy name. Amen. Let us pray. Our Lord, our God, and our Father, we are very thankful for the covenant that Thou hast made with us and with our children. We are so thankful that Thou dost wash us, Thou dost cleanse us. We are thankful that Thou dost sanctify us. We know that we shall forever be with Thee. With joy and gladness in our soul, we begin another week. With sorrow and also with joy, the joy of our salvation. May we honor Thee in this week. May we think about that heavenly life that we have as a gift of Thy grace. May we think about what Christ went through, what He suffered, that we might live. And may we live not unto ourselves, but unto Thee, our God. Grant that unto us and to our children, for Christ's sake. Amen.